Print Coast to Coast. This podcast is brought to you by Print Coast to Coast, located on Savannah Road, just east of Five Points. From business cards to banners and everything in between, Print Coast to Coast is locally owned. So think outside of the box store. Shop at a business that is owned by your neighbors. More than just a print shop, they are like your own marketing team and are the local experts in every door direct mailings. Print Coast to Coast.
This is the Film Effect with Tiff.
Who the fuck do you think you are, you crazy little shit? Security?
I am Jack's smirking revenge.
Oh. Oh. What the hell are you doing? Why would you do that? Oh my god. No! Please stop!
Oh my gosh. So much violence to start right off with. Hey everybody, you are here. I'm Tiff. This is The Film Effect. And if you can guess from that quote, we are doing kind of a violent movie. Yes. I have a really great guest here today. Her name is Maggie. Maggie, say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Maggie. You and I have our love of movies in common, and you've been hankering to get me in here to talk about stuff, so here I am.
You're here. I'm so excited. And she's right. We do. We love movies. We love true crime. We have a lot in common, actually.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. Yes. We could do this for a long time.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Well, before I get into this film, I want to do my little plug that I do for Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. Please support the shows on this network. We have The Film Effect with Tiff. That's me. We've got Broken Stoked. We've got Food Therapy with Gretchen, Anonymous, an honest recovery podcast. And there's also The Full Send, which you can find if you look under the Rehoboth Social Podcast episodes. You can find some of those with Tiff and Tom. So if you really like listening to me talk, people, you can like really get a lot of me right now on this podcast network. But I'm really excited to talk about this movie, Maggie. It's like, she was just saying too, before we even hit record, I just watched this morning at like 7 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how dedicated, because I had to do a wedding last night, and I'm like, I have to find time to see this movie before we sit down and talk about it, even though I have seen it in the past. And you chose it, so why don't I let you kind of share?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for watching it this morning. You were watching it when I texted you to say I may not be able to do this.
Right.
Fortunately, it worked out, and I actually was able to watch it while I did 12 other things.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
But yeah, it had been about a million years since I've seen this. And when you were asking me what movie I wanted to talk about, too many things came to mind. There was way too many options in my head, and I've come up with more since then. So obviously,
oh, I bet.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again. But yeah, this one, I actually was just like, I Googled top 90s movies.
Did you? Is that what you
did? Just to refresh my memory of like, because that's my time period.
Okay.
That's when I really was like really sinking deep into it. I worked at three different video stores. Those were
my God.
Yeah, you were the.
We did not talk about this.
Yeah, you worked at the movie theater. I worked at the movie store.
I also worked at Blockbuster.
I worked at a local store first here called Sharky's, which is now the bagel place, which calls Surf Bagel. Yeah, I spent. I told him well before I turned 18. You have to be 18 to work there, because
they
rented the adult.
Did
movies.
They have the back room?
It was actually just a back aisle. It was not there behind any doors.
I'm having flashbacks because I worked one summer in Ocean City at a video store. I don't even remember the name of it. It was like what you're talking about. And they had a little like room they made, kind of like with a curtain in the back. It was so.
Yeah, this didn't even have a curtain. This was just like, God. There was a box that had the covers in it. And then there was a corresponding number, and you could find the blank video.
That's,
and because
I worked
there when DVD,
for the eyes,
like, we
let
had
me tell
one,
you.
One shelf of DVDs when they first came out. Like, I was there, like, VHS days. And
that's so crazy.
Yeah. I could have picked Braveheart. I watched that movie, like, every day I worked with one of my coworkers. We'd had this TV behind the counter. No one else could see it, so we could watch R-rated movies. And we put Braveheart on every time we worked together. But, yeah, so that was the first video store, and then there was Blockbuster, and then in college I worked at Video Showplace for a few years, and, yeah, so
wow,
90s,
so
though, that was my, like, movies were extremely important to me.
It's so cool. I didn't even, it's funny, because we never, I don't think we've had that conversation.
That's surprising to me, the depth of our conversations and the fact that we both love these so much. I guess we've just been distracted by podcasts.
Well, I think we get on one topic and then that's like all we talk about.
Yeah. We're so very good at falling down rabbit holes.
Hey, that's this whole podcast. Just get in the tunnel and the hole. What do you call
it? See where it goes?
Jump on in. Let's go.
All right.
Let's do it. Yeah, so, okay, so that's kind of where you went, were 90s and kind of searching top movies.
Yeah.
And, but does this movie have, like, do you have an affinity for this film other than just it was a 90s thing?
No, well, I mean, that was just the time period. Like, there was all the movies that I came up with were from the same time period. Like,
okay.
From, like, 94 to, like, maybe 2000-ish or something. It
yeah.
just happened to be. And I realized that when I gave you that list of three, two of them were Brad Pitt and David Fincher movies. The other
I know,
one was
seven,
yeah.
Which I love, that one, too. And also Dark, and I know I've done a lot of Dark movies on here, but then, hey, guys, this is what's
just
happening.
Just what happens.
It's what's happening, yeah.
But yeah, and then another one I came up with was another Brad Pitt movie after I talked to you. It was 12 Monkeys. That one was huge for me, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of darkness,
no,
apparently.
And that, yeah, and me, too. And that was like a decade of Brad Pitt as well,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was a
Did
was
you ever
peak
see
Brad Pitt.
Another great Brad Pitt movie?
I've seen them
with
all.
With Juliette Lewis.
California. Yep,
oh,
yep.
My God. And that's
California
right up the true crime alley because they go... The whole setup is this guy's going to homes of serial killers or murderers. Isn't that what he's doing?
Yeah. And then
to photograph them and write about.
Yeah, it was David Duchovny.
Yeah. The X-Files.
And then you can take Juliette Lewis over to Natural Born Killers if you want to keep going because I could do that one too.
No, this is like we're really going far.
Yeah, we can.
All right, we need to regroup.
Yeah, get back.
We need to
get
regroup.
Back, get back.
Okay, so, but I guess what I'm asking is like, is there a reason that you like this movie aside from those factors? Like, does it have a personal?
Well, I mean, just in the sense that it was just such a well done movie. Like, I was thinking about it while I was listening to it, while I was putting up Christmas lights, so that my
how do you
my
do that,
young
actually?
I just had my Bluetooth in and just kept it in my pocket and kept it every time I reached my hand in my pocket to pull out some stuff that I needed. I'd hit the button and have to like replay it and stuff. But anyway, I was thinking about it and I was like, this movie might not even get made today. Like, it's like toxic masculinity times 12.
I
like,
kind of enjoyed it, even though I didn't
know,
think
I know,
would.
But like,
I was like missing that. I was like, man, this is a manly flick. Like, this is all about like testosterone on every level. Yeah.
And here I am, you know, a feminist, I'd say, and a lesbian. And,
hey,
you know, like, this
that's
is all
right.
Not anything involving my personal life. This movie, I don't ever want to get in a fight. I've never hit anyone, and I don't want to get hit by anyone. But this movie was just so well made, and it was just so surprising at the time. Like, you know, now it's just taken for granted, the end of it and everything. Spoiler alert.
Can I tell you, I'm going to share with everyone, my fans, my people. I don't know what the hell I'm going through lately, but I literally was sitting in my living room. I had just made my jalapeno bagel, which I was very excited about from Surf Bagel. Plug. Little shout out to Surf Bagel.
Formerly
and
Sharky's
the scene
video.
Happened at the end. Now we're jumping right to the end. I haven't even started. Where everything explodes.
And the music.
And the two of them are there. And I fucking cried.
Yeah. It's.
I was like crying.
Yeah.
And
it
I'm
holds
like,
up.
And I'm like, how are. But no, this didn't make me cry then. So like, it's not that kind of a movie. But I think that like, I got kind of deep watching it maybe this time. I don't know what it was, the duality. There's so much. And I think for me, as I've shared on some other of these podcasts, like we all kind of go through our personal things. And the idea that he's got two people inside of him, in a sense.
Yeah.
And he's kind of killing off the one to save the other. And
yeah, who originally...
There's something really amazing about that, and also like very profound to me, for me to respond to it that way. And I think in some ways I've killed off my old self.
Yeah.
Well, or I hope to.
Isn't that always what we're doing? Like, we shed all of ourselves.
Yeah,
we so also just said, like, anybody who says, I am who I am and I'm never going to change, like, first of all, that's crap.
Well, it's inevitable.
We all change. Yeah. And that's the point of life. Like, if you stay the same your entire life.
And
then
you are changing. So there's no, isn't that like physics and science? And like, there's no way you could possibly continue to stay exactly the same. You know, you're physically changing anyway, because you're getting older. So
we have all new cells. How many, like,
I don't
how
know.
Often? Like, except for I heard our eyeballs. They stay
is that
the same.
Right?
That's lifelong.
Oh my God.
Otherwise, like every other cell in our body is not what we were born with. And yet here we are.
Whoa, we've already gone down a hole.
Yeah.
I don't even know where we went. That was like...
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, but yeah, just talking about our experiences watching this, like today, this morning. And it's, you know, this is just such a funny... It's such a funny... I was so happy to do it, too. You know, I got into my sweatpants and I'm like, I'm putting this movie on and like just diving right in to like all this craziness of the story. What I'll do real quick before we start getting into it, I just like to give people... the information, the big facts, as Stella would say, my daughter, which I'm constantly mentioning her. But I'm going to just read what they have on IMDb. So we're talking about the movie Fight Club. It was made in 1999.
Yeah.
Yes.
The year I graduated high school.
The year you graduate. Wow. I don't feel like I'm older than you, but now I just felt it. It was like, boom,
oh,
Tiffany, you're old.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Tiffany. You're old. Okay.
You are not old.
But hey, we still worked in video stores where there was VHS, so.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
We had
hit a certain age and there's not really any difference anymore.
And we have that common, you know, we have that in common. So that gives me a warm feeling. The director is David Fincher, which you just mentioned. Writers, and I'm going to try to say his name right, Chuck Palahniuk.
Palahniuk.
Oh, I knew you would know it. I knew you would know it. I'm so glad you're here.
He wrote the book.
Yes. Did you read any of the books by him?
I read that book after I saw the movie.
That's funny because I actually love this movie so much that I did read Choke.
I'd never actually
read... Which is the other book that he... I think after this. And
I wanted to see how he had done it in the book, how he could make it a surprise, like how he could hold... Because in the movie,
yeah,
you can use so many tricks to kind of like... keep it secret until the end, even though he drops so many flagrant hints.
He drops so many hints, man.
But the book, it was a very small book, so it was very close to actually just like exactly the movie, but
I have to read that,
with a few key differences, but
no, it's cool.
Overall, it was the same.
So that guy wrote the book, and then Jim, how do you say this guy's
name?
That
one I'm not going to be able to help.
It's like U-H-L-S.
Oles
wrote the screenplay. Stars Brad Pitt, of course, Edward Norton, Meatloaf.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Meatloaf. Love that. And there's other people. My favorite.
His name was Robert Paulson.
That was so good. And of course, you know, Helena Bonham Carter, who I'm obsessed with in this movie.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Isn't she great? And I think I was like obsessed with her for a while after this because I wanted to see her in everything. And yeah. I was like, what's she in now? Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting watching this again, and you know, when it first came out, these actors were like 20 years older than me, but at the time, like now watching it, they're like 10 years younger than I was then.
That's weird. Like,
yeah, he said something, Edward Norton said, and his character said, unnamed character, said...
That's another thing. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. He said, he said something about being 30 years old, and I'm like, well, I'm 39. Yeah, so I'm quite a bit older than these people now. But yeah, at the time, like when I first saw it, looking up to these people as like my elders. And
I know. How weird is that?
Yeah, now you can see the where they got things wrong.
Oh my God. To be 30 again. That feels like a long time ago. So yeah, Helena Bonham Carter, we've got... There's a lot of cameos in, or people that I've seen now in other things.
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto. Yeah. It's just continuing to look gorgeous.
Yeah.
And amazing. Even into like...
Although he looks slightly creepy in this one. He's got the blonde hair and the eyebrows that are like not there.
But he just doesn't age, that guy.
No, he does not.
He just looks gorgeous no matter what he does.
My wife the other day just said she just realized that he's the lead singer of 30 Seconds
she
to
didn't
Mars.
Know that.
She did not know that.
Wow.
It just shocked me.
Does she like Jared Leto? Is she like a...
She's not like a Jared Leto head or anything, but...
Jared Leto head.
But...
Listen, Leto heads.
She does love music, and that's a band that's up her alley, and so you would have thought she would have realized, but...
If you really are a Jared Leto head,
well,
you need to see this movie. You need to see this movie for the cameo or for the short amount of time he's in it.
Well, my so-called life. I mean, that's right up my time period.
I was so obsessed with that show. I can't even tell you. And then they canceled it after one season, which was really disappointing.
Huge mistake. Can they bring that back? Can Netflix?
I think we can just
can
continue.
We just get the same
we
actors?
We can just watch it over and over again if we want to. So those are that's the cast. That's also the director and the writing credit. I'm going to read to you. Did I just lose that part? How did I get into this? I messed it up.
You got to hit back.
Oh, thank you. I'm on the interwebs. I love to read the description sometimes on how they try to explain this movie, which is just one sentence. Like, it's so funny, right? So it's like, this is an insomniac office worker and a devil-may-care soap maker from an underground fight club that evolves into something much, much more. I think I read that kind of weird. Did it work?
Yeah, it was fine.
With the pause of the much, much more. But, I mean, it's pretty good for a sentence if you could try to fit that into one sentence.
Yeah, that does it. I mean, you know.
That's succeeding right there. Whoever had to write that piece, I commend you.
Brevity. It's
good. It's good work. I want to hear I'm going to shut up for a minute and let you tell me your thoughts just on this movie in general.
Oh, geez. Okay.
What do you have? What's at the top of your head after just the fresh watching it this morning? Anything?
Anything come to mind? Was there any good reason to pick this one? I mean, I have no idea. Like, I don't really.
I can start. You want me to start?
You start. And
all right. Well,
I
am the host.
You are the host. I'm going
to
make you do
it. All right. So that kind of describes what this movie is about. So one thing I did notice, and I take notes because I'm a note taker when it comes to movies, only in
my
movies.
My hands were full of Christmas lights and 2-year-olds.
You know, if your hands are full of Christmas lights, you can't take notes. First thing, narration, voiceover. Boom. We're right in. The opening of this movie is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, and I obviously, you know, I think they had to do it that way because it's just, you just have to. Like, even though a lot of books, I think that's always a tricky thing when they're going to take a book and make it into a film. But it was very clear that this movie had to be told to you this way.
Yeah.
You had to hear the voice of Edward Norton to understand what this was going to be about. And he takes us through the whole story. So we're already in. And the voiceover does not end. It's not like a movie where they just set you up in the beginning and then suddenly the movie takes over. This movie, we are in his head the entire time. We are him, and we're going to hear his thoughts.
Yeah.
So that was my first note. So,
okay.
How did you feel about it?
I remember reading somewhere once when I was younger that narration like that is like lazy writing.
Well, that's the thing is they say that sometimes it can be a lazy tool.
Yeah, and I feel like at the time that I read that or heard that, I was very like, okay, your opinion, whoever wrote this, was probably more intelligent than mine because someone paid you to write this. So I kind of like went with that for a period of time where every time I heard narration in a movie, I was like, well, this is kind of lazy. But now I think about it, and like so many really, really great movies still use that, and it actually works. Like, I mean, Shawshank Redemption, come on, you've got.
Right.
So, like, come on. If that movie.
Listen, if you can do it right, I think they say that
sometimes
it's
overusing it.
Right.
And it's not so much exposition. It's he wasn't doing it to like explain to us the plot of the movie. It was a much better tool than that. Like, and somehow we were able to be in his head without seeing the end coming before it came. Like the first time I saw this movie, I did not see the end coming, which is one of the reasons
it
was so good.
And that's, we got to give credit to David Fincher.
He's one of the best.
Yeah. He does a great job. And I do agree with you. I learned that when I was in school because they don't want people to be lazy with their storytelling. And you can use, the camera's so important to like tell a story as well. But these things complement each other so well in this movie that you can't, I don't think it could have been told without the voiceover, to be honest.
No, I don't think it would have been as good. I mean, how do you explain like all the opening stuff where he's going to the support groups and stuff? Like, you have to figure out why. Like,
yes,
like it's kind of necessary to be in his head.
And it's quick. It's like quick shots. It's like the imagery is just like boom, boom, boom. It's like eye candy, you know. Yeah. So without
David Fincher and his cinematographer, they're like a duo, right? I mean, like, he always uses the same guy. He's got a very distinctive style, and he's so meticulous with everything. Like, it's gorgeously shot for such an kind of ugly movie.
It's like it becomes so much fun, even though it's twisted, you know? I'll tell you a personal... I'm going to walk through just the story a bit. So this guy is 30, right?
Yep.
He says we don't know his name. We just hear him talking.
Yeah, at one point, Marla, you know, Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes.
She says something like it was after they first met and they split up the groups that they were going to. And she crosses the road and she's behind on the other side of the road. And she says, "Hey, so what's your name? Is it any of these fake names that you've given of these
Cornelius
meetings?" Yeah, Cornelius, Rupert, are any of them your real name?
Yeah.
And then it just cuts to the next scene. Like, you never hear him answer.
We never hear him answer. And that's so interesting. But yeah, so here's this guy who's got this very, like, boring job, sort of. Or he's got a job.
I don't know how boring it is.
You know, it's not a boring job.
It's a disturbing job. He does the insurance stuff where he flies around to car accidents because he's a recall guy.
Like, that's right.
Is it more expensive to do the recall or is it more expensive to deal with the litigation? And whichever one is more expensive, like, they'll only recall it. Like, and that's probably true. I mean, you know, there's probably people that do that.
And I think it's so, in terms of this coming from the book, obviously, that's so important. That job choice is so important for what ends up happening to this guy, because his job is about evaluating like risk and like kind of all those things, like accidental things that have happened, but also possible people that may have taken risks doing, I don't know. You feel it's in the world of dangerous things, and he's a very safe guy.
Yeah. And also just seeing how corporate America values or does not value the life. Like, you know, he's there like saying, well, this might happen. Like, these people died and more people will probably die if we don't do something about this. But it's not worth the cost to actually take it, to make a change. So yeah,
it's just
seeing how little we are valued as individuals in that scheme of things.
In the scheme of money in corporate America, right?
Yeah.
So that was interesting. And right off the bat, the problem our main guy has is he can't sleep.
Yeah. That's insomnia. It's right there in the short little IMDb sentence.
It happens. That's right. You guys are on it. So this is really the issue that, propels him into the storyline, which is like, he's got this sleep issue. First, he's trying to fill it with, like, buying stuff and putting, you know, IKEA products all over his apartment. None of these things are helping him.
Then he tries to fill it with going to support groups.
Now, that piece is interesting, right? And it's a weird place to go, don't you think? But he gets it from his doctor.
Yeah, his doctor, he's like, trying to get a medication to help him sleep because he can't sleep. And we all know how crazy you can go when you can't sleep. And
it's funny because I don't have a sleep issue.
Well,
have you had an issue with insomnia?
I have I'm in my own support group and there was definitely sleep issues for many different reasons. There's been multiple times in my life where I have not been able to sleep. And then having, you know, twins, I mean, that was, you know, an outside my
that's,
own
that's just motherhood.
Ability to control. But yeah, it was certainly a period where I went for a good long while without sleeping.
Are you alive today? Are you with us right now?
I am actually here. I did sleep, although I was woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning with my son screaming bloody murder. He's going through a thing.
So you're kind of like Edward Norton right now.
No, I wouldn't.
No,
go
I'm
that
just
far.
Kidding. I was trying to have fun with you. Trying to have a little fun. I'm like, come on, let's go there. No, but I think we all can relate on some level. You're right. Like, to the idea of suffering in some way that you are desperate. You're desperate for some help. And so he goes to the doctor. The doctor's kind of like, here, try this. And then he's like, you want to see real pain, go to the guys that have
testicular cancer.
Testicular cancer.
Yeah.
And so he ends up in a meeting.
Yeah, he just takes him seriously. The doctor meant it, like, you know, rhetorically, metaphorically, like, not seriously.
Like,
go.
Kinda
just
like suck it up,
just
buddy.
Like, yeah, you're
you think
fine.
You got
you
a
can't
problem?
Sleep, that's okay. You're yeah. gonna live. Look at these guys, they're not.
I know, and it's a little insensitive, but it felt a little insensitive. But you know, what I found really instantly, because you said support groups, and I've talked about that on here, and
I'm in your sister program. Would we call it that?
I just call it Al-Anon. I don't care.
No, I mean mine. The one I'm in. I'm in. I'm part of the reason.
No, it's
part
okay.
of the group of the people who are the reason you have.
Oh,
a group.
That's true. But anyway, yeah, I probably could get in trouble for that. Anyway, it's done. I've done it.
Yeah. You know,
it's okay. It's my personal life. So what I was gonna say is, I felt that common theme of isolation, and you know, I think the reason the group is effective for him right away is because he gets seen and heard, and he also gets like a weird sense of community and belonging that doesn't really belong to him, but it fills a hole for him for a little while, which is like,
yeah, he seems to still feel like he's dying, whether or not he actually really is. And yeah, it does.
Yeah, and it gives him this room to like cry and like kind of be.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
free. It's his first like moment for me, I see, that he feels a little freer.
Yeah, I didn't feel like watching it. I didn't feel like he was like taking advantage of these people. Like he was going there and using, like, I mean, that's what he was doing, but it came from a place of need and not of like, I don't know. I don't know. What
yeah,
the word
I think
I'm
we accepted because he's like.
He's
suffering as
he's
well.
He's
you know,
a mess and he's
so
suffering.
All suffering people, you know, connect. We all, it doesn't really matter. That's why he ends up in every other
yeah,
group.
All, you know, the two blood parasites.
What is that? I know.
Like, I was going back,
like,
I'm like,
what is the two blood parasites?
There's a blood parasite and a brain parasite. You can't have both parts of the brain because she wants something else with the brain.
And then I think is this commentary on like support groups, you know, that they just go into every.
Although
situation.
It sounds like all of those groups could use one. I would want one if I had those things.
I'm a big fan myself, so yeah, slap yeah. a name tag on me and I'll walk in. No, I'm just kidding. But
The name tags, that doesn't seem like something we actually do.
Right, but that obviously was for the storytelling.
Yeah, yes,
yeah. Yeah, so that was a smart way to kind of confuse us.
Yeah.
For sure, because you don't even realize about the name thing, like, for a while.
Yeah,
and then you don't even really care. You're like, I don't know what his name is and who cares.
Yeah, I don't recall realizing that I didn't know his name until the end when everybody started calling him Tyler Durden, which is probably also not obviously his real name. He would have known if it was his real name. So, you know, yet another pseudonym. But
it was just meant to not be clarified.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that
but
was
they
cool.
did it in such a good way of like not letting you realize that it was happening.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
It's just such a good movie, man. I really have to thank you. Like, what a fucking pleasure. Like, it tapped into a lot of things for me. And I don't think I appreciated it the same when I saw it when I was younger.
Yeah. I mean, we've lived a life at this point now.
Yeah,
like, when I first
really hits
in 1999, I was 18 years old. Like, I didn't know
you're like, they're
nearly as
punch
much as
each
I thought
other
I did.
In the face.
Yeah.
So far, I haven't even gotten into that. It's so funny. I think people are like, she's going to talk about them fighting each other. Nope.
Yeah, that's not the most important part of the movie.
It's not really at all. It's kind of just like a tool to tell us like more about this person and where they're going. And it does become violent, but
yeah, it's more like it's like a movie about a cult, like where the cult leader didn't intend on becoming one. Like,
it's literally to me just about a guy struggling with himself and like having an internal battle that we get to see externally happen.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you walk through that thing, you know, if you were able to listen, there are many times that I feel like two people are living inside of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably on a daily basis. In fact, when I go to Panera, because I have two accounts, every time I go to use my little, like when you put in your little,
you don't have one of those. No.
Oh my God, Maggie. You got to get the little passcode. Whatever. I use my phone number. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but it just made me think of this movie. So I go in.
I'll just use your phone number.
I just use my phone number. I order my whatever, pick two, what I always do. And then they're like, do you have a put in your phone number? And then they're like, there are two of you. And I always joke and go, yes, there are.
Yes, there are.
Like, there's always, just pick one. Just pick one of me. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was just plug another podcast. I was just listening to a different podcast about true crime stuff, and it was a story. It was pretty horrendous, and I'm not going to get into all of the details, but it was about like the first successful time that a person was able to use their dissociative disorder in a courtroom and bring their other personalities that they had created.
Oh my God! Can
out
you
of
tell
an
me
abuse
what that
situation.
Was? What was that?
It was on that podcast I told you about, Red Handed. It's it's a true. It was this girl. It was like the worst case of sexual abuse that they had on record. I think it might have been Australia, and her father. It was from the time she was like 4 until she was like 10 or something like that. And this was now she's I think in her 50s or something. Still lives with her mother at this point, but she created. She said over 2,000 other personalities, and she like some of them were more dormant, some of them were more. But they
2,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And she had like a certain very clear defined ones that were her protectors basically. And yeah, so.
That's upsetting.
I mean, when you think like these people had nothing in common with her in real life. Some of them were men. Some of them were older. Some of them were younger. Some of them aged. Some of them didn't.
Yeah.
But they all served a purpose for something that she needed, which, you know, Tyler Durden does for our unnamed narrator.
I know. I kind of feel like, do I have a Tyler Durden inside me? I don't know.
I think we all have.
Let's
a little
not
bit
get
of
perverted
a,
about that.
Maybe we all have a little bit of a nihilist inside of us who just kind of wants to rip everything down.
Well, that's where we all can relate, I think, to this, is that like we do have that part of us that wants to be unaccountable and just like free to do anything they fucking want. You know, like if I just want to punch you in the face, I'm going to do it. And we don't do that as human beings.
Yeah, there's
know?
A social contract we all
that's
have
right.
agreed to.
You would go to jail yeah, or something bad would happen.
Yeah, it's assault.
it's not allowed, actually.
Yeah.
You get in trouble.
I am for somebody who loves true crime as much as I do, I am very seriously a rule follower.
Thank God for us. Oh, boy. Well, okay. So moving along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to keep moving along.
What's your next note?
So many. You don't even know. All right. So he goes to the meetings.
Yes.
He's having a great time.
Yeah.
He's not having a great time, but he's feeling
he's
like
getting released.
He is getting a yes, he's getting released and he's feeling better, and then boom, Marla.
Yeah.
Pops on into his little world.
He blames everything on her.
Smoking constantly.
Yeah. Well, constantly. I mean, can you blame her? She looks like she was born smoking. She looks good smoking.
I love her so much.
Yeah. Brad Pitt also
she's also
they
my
smoke
alter
very
ego.
Well on screen.
Like to be that cool and that messed up is like I don't know. There's something great about it. And like just the way she walks around her existence. I think that was another thing I loved about this film is he did this great thing of being able to like have you totally with the character and have it feel like you're in the moments completely. Right. I never felt like I was. But then things would just move so quickly and you'd still be in those scenes.
Yeah.
Like the scene where they walk from the meeting, him and Marla meet. Or he
approaches
her.
Yeah, that's the one I was. That was the one I was talking about. Where at the end, where she's asking
yes.
his name and everything, and the
yes.
bus goes by and it just cuts off. And it goes to a completely separate scene, and that happens multiple times throughout the movie.
Totally.
And it never feels jarring. Somehow he's able to do it without you being like, "Wait, what happened? And where are we?" Like it doesn't feel incomplete, and it doesn't feel like I don't know where I am now. Which is not something that every director can do well. Like I feel like there's certain other directors like Zack Snyder. I don't know if you ever watch any of those DC comic movies. I feel like he tries to do stuff like that and it just does not work. It just feels like
no, you're totally right.
It feels like something get missed. Like did we skip something? Did my DVD skip? Did my internet go out? Like something happened and I missed something. But that doesn't happen with this
no
movie.
It doesn't happen at all.
David Fincher's a master.
He is the master. Love him. So we were just talking about.
Yeah, we probably should have re-listened to the last second or so. Could have remembered where
matter.
We were.
We're talking about we're talking about meeting Helena Bonham Carter, who we love.
Yeah.
And
he blames everything on her. That's how the movie starts. Like when he finishes in the opening sequence where it starts at the end and goes back
right.
to the beginning, and he says it all started with Marla, and we go back and get
and it's such a cop out actually.
It's pretty sexist. Blame
well
the woman.
And I think you know what, it's funny because by the end of it I don't think that
Yeah, no.
That's true for him.
Yeah, no, it's not. Which is funny because the end is the same end as it was before,
right.
But it's somehow it's not her fault by the end. But yeah, I think it was just he blames her because he was getting his satisfaction and what he needed from those meetings, and then she came in and ruined it for him. And that's when he had had to go seek elsewhere inside his mind to figure out.
No, I know. And it's like life is challenging him left and right. You know, it's like you think you can do this for a while. Guess what? And I think she's like his mirror a bit. She's like the one thing in the story that she sees him.
Yeah, they're very suited to each other.
Right? But it's like no one else sees him. It's like she's just like, I got your number, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay?
But then, you know, he doesn't realize that he is the person that she's there with. And so he's jealous of himself.
Exactly. Whatever. Craziness. But aren't we all? I'm not even jealous of myself.
Yeah.
No.
I mean... No, I guess not.
No.
I guess sometimes I think of my old self and I'm jealous of all that freedom she had.
Oh, boy. That's what I was saying. Oh, my favorite. The scene where he confronts her and they walk out of the place and they're walking down the street and she goes right into a laundromat. There's all these little things that are happening.
Yeah.
You're so cool, man. And you just don't even know what's going on.
Yeah. She's like a mix between his real self and his Tyler Durden self.
You're right.
She's got
a little bit of
both of those things.
Yeah, because she's breaking rules left and right, but not for the same reason. It's almost like you said, because she doesn't care to die and she's challenging death at all times because she thinks it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Nothing can kill me. But it is funny. She goes in the laundromat. She pulls out some laundry and he's like, you left the rest of your clothes. They weren't her clothes.
Yeah. And then she goes and sells them. He's like, you're selling those?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm selling some clothes.
I think she's my alter ego, to be honest with you. Helena. I wonder. I just like need her to come out more. Maybe that's what's happening to me. That's maybe why I'm crying.
She's a hedonist.
But she's so unapologetic. It's like, I don't know why. Maybe that's just my personality. I am a rule follower, and I do find people like that to be really interesting to me, even if they're just a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they do what they want and they don't care. And
yeah, there's
like,
something compelling about that. Yeah. It's
like attractive. It's like, oh.
Yeah, you seem free. You seem like someone who is confident enough to walk into a place and take a thing that's not yours and no one's going to realize because...
And there are no consequences for you, apparently.
Yeah, and it does seem like in real life that is how the world works. Like, you see
how I
could walk into this place and act like I own it and no one's going to question me because people don't question each other that way. It's too embarrassing if you're wrong. But, yeah, most of us... You know,
and
it's too terrifying to cross that line. So
she doesn't care.
Most of us don't do that.
Yeah. So is this movie commentary really on like having no fear of death or anything and just being able to live your life?
Maybe. I mean, the point of Fight Club is to feel alive.
That's right.
Like the whole purpose is we all feel deadened inside. We were promised these things that we've discovered we're not getting, which, I mean, you notice all those are white males of a certain age.
I kind of wanted to be a white male in this movie.
It still kind of works today. But yeah, and just not being given, not getting the things that they thought they were going to get, the things that they thought they were promised, and feeling a little bit dead inside. And what's going to wake you up more than getting literally smashed in the face by a fist?
I do not know.
I don't
that
actually
know from
experience.
That would definitely be better than a cup of coffee in the morning.
I imagine it is exhilarating and adrenalizing.
Yeah, I've never been in a fight, so I have no frame of reference there.
Don't plan on it either.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a man thing.
I've seen some women fight, though, I will tell you.
Yeah, that's actually pretty
terrifying.
Have you seen that? It's pretty terrifying. Yeah, women are vicious.
They can really be scary.
When they go for it.
Yeah. So that is, and I do think that's like throughout the whole film. It's like this, you know, how far do we have to go to like really truly live our lives? That's the feeling I got from it. I'll go back to my notes just for a minute.
Let me see. This movie takes place in Delaware, right?
Wait a second. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
How do you know that?
Well, I mean, I read the book, first of all, and I read a lot about it. So I've found
where
out
in
at the
Delaware?
Time. Like Wilmington area.
Is that what that's supposed to be?
Yeah, yeah.
You would never know it.
Because that's where, like, Delaware is a, you know, a tax hub. We are the safe place to get away with businesses paying. Like, in Wilmington, there are literally office buildings that are literally just the door. Like, they have to have a physical space. So they have one office. So companies that are registered, you know, companies from all over the world are registered in Delaware. Like, the rules for Delaware are more lax than, like, Eastern Europe. So
you're saying they shot the movie.
They shot the movie here because this is where the financial sector is. All the credit card companies.
Oh, my God.
Blow up the buildings at the end.
Does the book have the same location or is
yes,
there?
Yes. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. You know the part where they're smashing the headlights of the cars and they're talking about the other branches? He says, you know, there's one in Delaware City. He's like, oh, yeah. And there's one in Penn Grove. And there's also one. Did you hear about the one up in Newcastle? Yeah, that's all Delaware.
Wow,
yeah.
That is so funny that I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
this is why you're the guru. Look at you.
I mean, you know,
well, you
it's
pay
Delaware.
Close attention.
I've lived in here. You know, very little happens here. So when maybe that's another reason why this movie spoke to me.
David Fincher,
there's
come
very
back.
Little cool that I is know. Associated with Delaware. So,
and I love that. That's so cool to know. Look, you picked a really good one then.
Yeah,
local people.
Well, you
pay attention.
You helped me pick it. I narrowed
I did,
it. You
I
helped
did,
me pick it.
I did.
Full disclosure: I gave her three choices, and she picked the final one that would be the most interesting to probably.
It
talk
was
about.
Meant to be. Apparently, yeah. I tell you, I think this movie changed me this morning. I'll go back to my notes for a minute. I was writing about Marla Singer. I love her name too. It's just a great the character Marla. That she, you know, she
sounds
might
classic.
Die at any moment. There's some good quotes in this movie. I want to read some of the quotes too. About her being at the meetings, she says, "It's cheaper than a movie and it's free coffee."
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that, right? Like, that is the best line ever about being at those meetings.
Yeah. He's there for his sanity and she's there for the free coffee.
She's there for just
at least
entertainment.
That's what she says.
Cheaper
anyway,
than a movie. I couldn't agree more. Especially today. There's just, oh my God, there's some good quotes. I don't know if this one is from her. "Tyler, you are by far the most interesting single-serving friend I've ever met." I think that was her.
I think that might have been Tyler Durden. Wasn't... Because he told...
Oh, maybe that was him talking
to Tyler. I think he only told that.
Is that right?
The thing about the single-serving friend
Then
to,
you're right.
To
Look
Tyler.
At me. Dude, this well, is... Totally, you are on it.
I just listened to it.
I know, but I think you have a very good memory.
I think I do too. I did remember most
you
of it.
Do.
I was able to see it in my head as I was just listening to it through my headphones because I've seen this movie so many times. This was a period of my life where I was able to watch movies like, you know, 50 to 100 times and did.
Hey, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why I'm here. I think I was born in a movie theater, actually.
Yeah.
Said that last time with Amy. All right, so I'm getting through my notes. Maybe we should have more of your take on some of this stuff. The themes are there. I wrote a couple questions. We can discuss that for a minute. Emptiness, money, consumerism, desperation. What I wrote was, what is he missing? Was it connection, emotional release, sympathy, community? He finds purpose. He finds connection. He finds love, sort of.
Yeah,
kind of. He finds himself.
Yeah.
Probably by the end of it.
Yeah, he
What do you
finally
think about any of that? We just throw like eight things at you.
Yeah, no
any
problem. Let me.
And by the way, 5 minutes, go. I'm just kidding.
Sounds good. I mean, I think he was looking for all of those things for sure. Definitely. I think he was disconnected from everything, from his life and from what most of us are looking for. Like when they're sitting in the bathroom together and Tyler's in the tub,
right,
and he's talking about his father, like they're talking about who would you like to fight, and Edward Norton says that he would like to fight his boss, and Tyler Durden says he would like to fight his dad, and he goes through all of the stuff, like, you know, I went to college because that's what my dad told me I'm supposed to do, and I call him when I'm done and I say, okay dad, what's next, and he says, get a job, and I get a job, and I'm 25 and I say, hey dad, what's next, he says, I don't know, get married. And it's just, and you know, the whole time Edward Norton is just like, oh, sounds familiar, like, you know, it is him, it's his story. But yeah, like following the track of life but not it not being actually your path, and
or feeling,
feeling
you don't
fulfilling.
Fit yeah, yeah, like it felt to me like when they would have those conversations, and they would also go into like numerous times, you know, historical figure, who would you fight? They were always men. I guess they had to fight men. There was no women they were going to fight.
I guess it's probably nice and that they didn't want
to
fight
any women.
But
then I'm thinking,
women.
Like, I guess it always had to be a guy because that's what guys, this is, whole thing is about men fighting. So many things.
Yeah, Gandhi and William Shatner were the answers.
And then Lincoln was one of his, too. But I do think that is a commentary, too, is that men being raised by women. There's a comment about that as well. And them not really understanding their roles anymore. You know, if your role was back in the older days to finish school, get the job, get the wife, have the kids, it doesn't fit anymore. And for, you know, for his character, for Edward Norton's character, he just can't relate. He can't relate to this, like, you know, this kind of imposed cultural or generational, like, kind of idea of being a guy. And he doesn't know where he fits in any of it. It's like, none of this is working for me.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the part where they're first really meeting. They meet on the plane, and then he blows up his apartment, and then they end up at the bar together. And, you know, at one point he's talking about having lost all of his possessions and how, like, it took forever to find all these. I found my sofa. That sofa problem is solved. I don't have to worry about a sofa anymore.
Thank God.
And then
sofa.
Yeah. And then Tyler Durden says something about, like, where does all of this fit, like, in a hunter gatherer sense? And it's like very much that kind of idea of, like, yeah, I mean, we've evolved past all of that stuff, but in our DNA, all of that stuff is still there, and there's still certain primal things that are part of our makeup, and there's not a lot of place for men to put, like, that kind of aggression.
Well, I think that's why guys join the military.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the pull for a lot of people, other than just maybe, like, their family was in the military and it's like they respect it?
Yeah, I would guess so.
I think there's a little bit of all guys that, like, wants to get primal. It's like, I want to go to war.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to fight.
They definitely are made differently than we are. I can see that just looking at my son and my daughter, like, from this tiny little age, seeing them, like, him just scream,
right.
And, like, have no idea where to put.
It's so,
like,
true.
All of the things happening in his body, like, yeah.
It's weird for me, because if I think about women getting primal, I don't relate to that. Like, I'm not, you know, we're both mothers here.
Yeah,
but it felt foreign to me, quite honestly. That's just my experience. Like, I didn't have this primal urge to, like, want to birth a child or whatever. What do you think?
I didn't have that before. I had children, but, you know, then you have children.
Then you have it.
And, oh, it kicks in then.
It does, like, kick in, because,
like,
it's biology.
I will murder the world if you try and mess with my child.
Yeah, but, like, I think, like, I kind of get annoyed by this idea, actually, we're talking about. It's bothering me. It's bothering me that, like, men get to have this. If that's the primal thing, right? If you're saying that men don't want to wear suits and go to office jobs.
They want to go hunt and gather.
That they want to hunt and gather. I don't want to just be a birthing. Like, what are ours then? What does that mean about us? Are we supposed to just want to?
Yeah, well, there's a reason, I think, why we have evolved past that.
Right, but I don't crave that. I'm not craving to be that. I'm like, that's fine. I'll do it. I'm not. I mean, no offense. I know women that are Mother Earth. I am not. Like,
course,
I want to birth my baby in a field. Like,
and
I just
also
can't.
Very sensitive men who have no interest in being in a fight.
Yeah, and actually one really, I'll just bring up one of my favorite scenes. It's one of my favorite parts of the story, actually, is when the Fight Club is evolving. Okay, so we're kind of jumping all
Mayhem,
over this movie.
Yeah,
Sorry, guys.
Goes to Project
Maybe
Mayhem.
We'll have to come back and revisit this movie. But it evolves, and he starts giving them homework assignments. And one of the first ones he gives them is, I want you to start a fight with a stranger on the street.
And lose. Yeah.
That's key. You got to lose. But, and then the funny part, saying, like, you think it's easy to actually start a fight with someone. It's not easy.
Yeah, people don't want to fight.
They don't want to fight.
People don't want to fight.
And I thought, wow, that's such a funny thing. Like, and true. Because I can't imagine what I would have to do to get someone to smack at me, you know, or hit me in the face.
Yeah, and then it's interesting that Edward Norton's character's fight that he gets into, that he loses with it's not really a stranger, but he gets in a fight with his boss, quote-unquote,
right.
But it's actually him wailing on himself. And at one point when he's being thrown back into the glass shelf, and it pauses, and he says, for some reason, I'm reminded of my first fight with Tyler.
Right, and that's a hint, by the way.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That is a hint that he is not.
There's a lot of really big, like, they're not
subtle. And it's always, well, the first big one is when he says, you have to promise not to tell anyone about me.
Yeah.
And then every time, and the other hints I found were when he would say, he would tell him what to say almost in, like, a whispery kind of tone.
Yeah, when he's on the phone. Sometimes Tyler would talk for me.
Right, and then he would just say it, like, we're not dealing with this right now. Like, tell her to, you know, we need her to leave.
This conversation is over.
This conversation is over.
Yeah.
Ah, Brad Pitt. Man, you're so cool.
He's so great in this movie.
He's so great overall. And I think sometimes people just, like, women see him as a sex symbol, I guess.
He's a really good actor.
But he's a great actor. I don't even care about his abs.
He's a very attractive man. As a lesbian, he is a very attractive man.
Are we going there?
No.
But.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
There's no but there. There's no but. He's just a very attractive man.
Listen, there are a lot of attractive people.
We don't have to get into that.
That's a whole other thing. That's a rabbit hole we don't want to get into.
But I mean, he does say at one point, like, I fuck like you want to fuck. I act like you want to act. I am who you want to be.
That's right.
I mean, is there a man who doesn't want to be Brad Pitt?
I mean, I want to be Brad Pitt, really. I don't know why. That all sounds good to me. I'm like, can I be you for like 1 minute?
Yeah.
Look at your outfits, by the way.
I know. They still look cool. Early 90s, and somehow he still manages to make it look good.
Yeah, he makes it look really
cool. I don't
think
anybody else could pull off that red jacket the same way.
No, or the Hustler shirt with like the like almost fishnet like sleeves. I was like, oh my god, look at that thing.
And it was
that thing
short
is sick.
And everything. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's so much great stuff in this movie. It's like hard. Like it, and especially another one of my favorite parts is when he pulls the guy out of the convenience store.
Yeah.
Puts the gun to his head and says, you know, if you're not on your way to being a veterinarian in 6 weeks, I'm coming after you. And
And then the guy runs away and he's like, why did Edward Norton, why did you do that? Like, that's awful. Like, we're not doing that. And he's like, tomorrow morning, he's going to have the greatest breakfast of his life. He's going to have a meal that tastes better than anything you or I have ever had. And, you know, then that's when he says something about, you know, Tyler, his means are basically paraphrasing. His means are crazy, but the results, you can't really argue necessarily with the results.
Yeah, and it's just like a exercise to see who you really are. You know, it's like all of these things are happening, and of course the fighting is to kind of bring out your ability to seize life, maybe.
That would be Tyler's reasoning for all of it,
right?
But I think there are, you know, by the end, we find that there are holes in that logic. And that is why Edward Norton's character fights it in the end. Because, yes, you know, it's a very nihilistic approach to life. Like, we have to tear everything down to build it back up. Like, we all have, like, you can listen to somebody like that, somebody charismatic like that. And you know, in the end, he is a cult leader. He has, this is a cult. a force of personality. And
so crazy.
But by the end, you know, we're not interested in any of the romantic notions that he had about life and all of that stuff. It kind of gets torn away, and it's like, no, but that, you know, Edward Norton at the end, he doesn't want any of that, and he tries to stop it. Like, you can make the argument that tearing everything apart, there's some glory in that, but it really doesn't hold up
no.
in the end.
It seems to only work in a movie.
Yeah.
Possibly. But it's a great story. You know,
yes,
I mean, it's like a myth or something almost, you know, when you think about it. I want to bring up, do you have any last minute things you want to say about this for you? Like, before I want to just touch one little thing before.
Go for it.
I get into just another movie that it's making me think of. But, yeah, did you relate? I'll just ask this. Did you relate to that struggle personally for yourself?
Not in any real sense.
Not in any real way.
I mean, I'm very much interested in, you know, obviously, like with the books and the movies and the podcasts and all the stories and everything. I love stories. I love every type of story, as dark as you want to go,
right,
as crazy
right.
as you want to go, as fantastical as you want to go. I can go anywhere with you. But I very rarely would say that I actually, like, if I were in these situations, would that be where I would go? Like,
right, yeah.
You know, I'm very interested in following other people's stories, but that does not mean that.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question. So does it affect you in a way that makes you think about your life, even on the themes involved? Forget the actual, like, what happens or the genre, or even just
like the
idea of duality within yourself and kind of feeling like at times you have to you're seeking to be a different self, or that you want to destroy a self of your, like, that idea. Maybe
probably
I'm just curious.
Maybe at one point in my life the answer probably would have been a very quick yes.
Yeah.
But where I am now in my life, you know, my cells have all changed. I'm a whole new person.
I don't
feel that way anymore.
So there's no second Maggie.
Well, we're on like fifth Maggie.
And as I'm long as it's not 2000, I think we're okay.
I am certain that there will be more to come, but my changes are a little bit more subtle than this guy's.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good thing. We don't want to be really like that. All right. Well, I'm just going to, you know, this movie's so rich. There's so much, you know, I'm going to tell everybody, please see it. It's a great movie. If
are
you
there
think
people
you know
who have not seen this movie?
I think there are.
That's
we're old, dude. There's a lot of people
I guess,
that
yeah,
haven't
there's
seen this movie.
Yeah, young folk. If you haven't seen this
there's,
yet,
and it's and this movie I think holds up well, regardless
other than the
of
fact
the time
that there's
period.
No cell phones anywhere.
No, I don't think you, and I don't think you need to. You know, this is not a dated film to me.
No,
I think this
it
film
really,
holds up.
It did,
and it's worth it because it's not just about people having a fight club.
Yeah, no, that's very not what the main point of the
that's
movie.
That's not what it's about. So I recommend this movie to everyone. And the only reason I'm kind of halting us here is because I know where time's a little limited. And I want to real quickly touch on the Joker because we're talking a little bit about mental illness in this movie. This is a guy who is not well.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
if you have this experience where you're seeing another person talking to you, then you're not okay. Like, things aren't going great upstairs right now for you. Whatever's pushed you over the edge, it's happened.
That's a whole nother really long conversation.
And that is a long conversation. But it's been coming up a lot on some of these other episodes just because maybe I just do too many dark stories. But I wanted to just real quick do a shit. We saw the Joker together.
We did.
Which was great. Fun experience. And that's a movie that's very heated right now. And, you know, that... To
it's,
me,
it's
also
very nihilistic. It's very,
it is.
It's
it
very
is.
Dark, and the view of the world is it's very it's very dark. I definitely spent some time thinking about. We almost did that one entirely.
Totally.
But
yeah.
We decided we should stick with something that was a little bit more formative for me. And obviously, this one was a week ago or so that we saw.
I
this
know.
One.
Well, and I also I also realized that like when I do this, I like to have a frame. Like I need to go back and see that movie and like make some little notes for myself because I can't like just put it on again and rewatch it. Right. I mean, I could go to the theater again, but that'd be spending a little bit more money than I need to right now. To see that movie the third time.
But, the most interesting thing I thought about
for
that movie, because we were talking about how like some people are mad about that movie because of how different it is from like previous versions of the Joker, which
correct.
Is, I mean, you can't have an origin. This is the Joker has always been a character that seems so fully formed already in his craziness. Like he just.
Yeah, they never go like, into explaining it much.
Yeah, in The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger's Joker multiple times gives stories of like what happened to him to make him this way. And every time it's a different story and every time it's a lie.
Right.
And
right.
It just kind of, you just sort of eventually accept this is just who this person is. Whereas in Joker, that's not at all. Like he starts off as like, he seems very hopeful and he wants to just make people smile and laugh. He's just a clown who just wants to entertain people. And he's very youthful. He's very innocent in a sense, but there's obviously that darkness that's in there. It felt less inevitable than the character has felt before. Like he just seems like an inevitability before, but now this Joker does not feel that way. He feels like he could have gone another way if the world had been less cruel.
Right. And a lot of people, I don't know, I haven't talked to that many people, but so I shouldn't say that. But I do think it's stirring up people because of the climate of where we, you know, what's happening today.
Yeah, like school shootings.
Yeah,
I know
with
I've read
like
a lot of
shootings
stuff, like
and it's everyone's a little touchy, but I find it interesting. Maybe it's just because it's the Joker and it's like what you just said. It's like we all kind of gravitate towards these very familiar stories that are supposed to be like comic book stories in a sense. So nobody wants to like touch that, you know, like how could you make this story so dark and so adult and like in terms of what is going on.
Yeah, it's much more mental illness related than crazy. Like I guess those, because I think of those two words as completely different. Like the crazy Joker
that
we previously knew. It wasn't like he was mentally ill crazy so much. He was just like a maniac. Just a guy who did not care about the world. Whereas this guy, it is all about mental illness. Like at one point you see in his diary, he said the worst thing about having a mental illness is that people want you to pretend that you don't have.
That's a great line.
Yeah. And
yeah, and I think there's so much truth to that with what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, and people, you know, had the concerns about like people going to see this movie, young people going to see this movie, and the only people, I'm not going to go see that movie and leave and decide that it's a good idea. Like,
I think that people have thought that about movies throughout the decades.
Yeah, and video games and all of that stuff. People at risk for that are the people that are just at risk for that, and anything can push those people
over. That's so true. You know, I'm not going to go to the movies now. I remember my parents, what if somebody comes into the theater with a crazy person? I'm like, that could happen any day.
Yeah, it's...
That has nothing to do with the Joker. Like, what am I going to not do that now? What's left?
Yeah.
Oh my God, if I can't go to the movies anymore, my life might end.
Yeah. What's the point?
It's over
then?
Anyway. Yeah, so what's the point?
Exactly.
Jesus. Yeah, but I personally liked it. I know a lot of people that didn't.
I liked it. One of my good friends that we watch movies together. Hi Patrick, you might listen to this.
Yeah, shout out.
He sent me a text message. I told you this, saying like, Joker, not worth it. Don't bother. And normally he and I agree on everything.
Oh, wow.
So it was interesting. Although he did also text me the other day saying, so if they did a prequel to GOT, Game of Thrones, for those of you who don't know.
I do know it's coming. I do.
Would that save the ending? And I was like, well, I loved the last season. Two of those, the Bells and The Long Night were two of my favorite episodes of that show, the entire series. So, you know, you can feel very differently about it. But, yeah. I really liked the Joker. I thought that they did a really fantastic job. I thought it made it a much more human story. It's much more understandable. Like, we were talking too much through the movie.
Were we? I don't remember.
And we were saying at one point, like, he kind of really makes you understand why he flips. Like, you kind of, like, things that he goes through in his life and everything. Like, how could he not?
No, and it's like the perfect, you know, mixture of things. You know, you take somebody who's got a bad deal in life, then you add like history of mental illness, a weird laughing disorder, Joaquin, you did that in such a way, like, I don't think you'll ever be forgotten for that specific part of that film. Like, it's burned into my brain, the uncomfortable.
It felt so real.
Like, it really did. And I wonder, like, I'll have to do some research about this, but I wonder if like they told him to do that specifically that way, or if he kind of came up with this laugh, because it really did make you feel bad.
It had to have been in the script, but the version of the laugh, I'm sure, was his own. Yeah. But
the way he was able to do that,
it was like laughter and crying at the same time. You could see the torment going on.
It was perfect. Like, it exactly did what it was supposed to do, make you understand.
It was visceral, for sure.
Yeah, like how upsetting this was for this person. Whew. I'm even getting feelings, yeah, guys. Feelings.
I was going to say to you, when we were originally planning on talking about this one, I was going to say, like, this. Has there been another role that two people have both won Best Acting Oscars for? Because, I mean, he's got to be up for one, and Heath Ledger posthumously won for his in The Dark Knight.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure the Oscar buzz is flying.
I read a lot of this stuff, and yes.
We'll have to do a little Oscar segment and have you come in.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
fun. Wouldn't that be fun? We can do that. Yeah.
I do feel like I'm doing sweaty balls now.
I kind of like when we do the soft voices, because it's just, maybe everybody needs a calm moment.
Yeah, I don't sound like this in real life.
Sometimes, maybe you do. Am I doing it too now?
Hearing myself in the headphones, it makes me talk a little differently.
Sometimes I just want to get under a blanket and then I go to sleep listening to myself do this voice. Hi guys, how's your Sunday? Actually, it's not, but it will be Tuesday when you hear this. Well, you know, I think we might have to.
Yeah, that's probably
put a cap in it.
Put a
cap in it.
Like Robert.
Put the lid on.
Yeah.
Close it up. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Maggie, thank you for fitting this in.
Yeah.
I feel so lucky I got you in this room. Oh my God.
Next time I will make a list and then we can work our way through them.
Yeah. This is ongoing. So as everyone knows, I'll be here every week doing this with somebody. And definitely want to have you back for sure.
My wife last night said she could do Dirty Dancing or Top Gun with you.
Those are good together.
Those are her favorite
movies. Could do like
a
double feature.
Yeah, I don't know if she actually would, but you could probably work on her. If you work on her the way you worked on me, I'm sure you could get her.
Maybe
in here.
I would love that. Amy, let's go. Let's hear what you have to say about Top Gun. Now I'm really curious.
The chances
actually
of her listening to this are probably pretty
really
slim. She's not a podcast listener. Not even if it's her wife.
Those
she has to listen to me talk all day every day. She doesn't need to hear more of this.
Oh, don't say that. She loves it. She might love it. All right, well, listen, everyone, thank you for joining us. This has been The Film Effect with Tiff and with Maggie. And every week I'm bringing you big movies, big feelings. I think that's all I have to say.
What else is there?
Please, I'll say one thing. If you are enjoying the show, please rate, please review, please subscribe, please send me your comments.
It takes like 5 seconds.
Send me your requests. I want to hear what you have to say. Argue with me, please. If you want to come into this room, anybody, literally, and you want to argue with me about a movie that you hated and I liked, I'm ready. I'm ready to fight club you right now.
Yeah, seriously.
But here's the thing. We don't talk about it.
Yeah, I know. We broke both of the first two rules of Fight Club coming in here and talking about this.
What's the second one? <I'm just kidding. laughs> Should we say it? Let's hear it. Tell me the rules one more time.
First rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. Second rule of Fight Club, you do not talk about. There's also the rule, no shirt and no shoes.
No shirt,
so
no shoes.
We broke that one.
What about bras? I mean, we didn't even bring that one up at all. But
we
maybe
did follow the rules. We are in here without our shirts on, just so everyone knows.
I just got like 60 more listeners.
Only if it's a video podcast.
Man, maybe I should video. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you again, and I hope to hear you next time or have you
hear
with me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm so out of
it's
it. Wow.
Fine.
It's just one of those days. Join us next time on The Film Effect with Tiff. Bye. And there's a snort for you.